Okay, let's open our Bibles. We're going back to John chapter 20. And tonight we come to Thomas. And what a precious brother. So similar to Peter. And Thomas's name is also called Didymus, which means twin. And I think there's many things to that, but you really see the two natures in this precious brother. And thank God again for his grace and his patience with us. But as we get into this, I want you to know that Thomas, his first statements and his first actions recorded in the Bible were very bold for Jesus. If you go back into John 11, it said that Thomas, and he said this, this was Jesus when he was going to go and heal Lazarus. They knew that it was dangerous for Jesus to go because they knew that there were ones that were seeking to kill him. And Thomas said, well, I'll tell you what, if you're going to go, Lord, I'm going to go and I'll die with you. Now, just a short three chapters later, in John 14, Jesus tells him so sweetly, he says, you know what? You know where I'm going. And he says to him, you know the way. And then Thomas is the very first to reply. And he says, Jesus, we don't know where you are going. And Jesus, we don't know the way. Now, I'll remind you, you know, he'd been there with Jesus for 3 years. Let's not get too down upon one another sometimes, you know. Think about how patient our Lord is, praise God. And I know the Lord's speaking to me too, so it's to all of us. But how much like Peter I think of Thomas, how much like us. When Thomas's eyes beheld the dire circumstances, when Jesus was not physically present with him, how his faith wavered. But God in his faithfulness, praise the Lord, was always right there. See, he never left him, did he? He foreknew every thought afar off. Thank the Lord that the Lord says, I'm always with you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are never separated from your love. And as we'll see in this portion that we'll study tonight, the Lord always shows himself beyond faithful. Beyond faithful. Praise God to his sons. So we're so thankful for this. But let's go ahead, and as we begin tonight, we'll read in John chapter 20. We'll pick it up from verse 24. And we'll get to that in a minute. But verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And remember, that was last week, 8 days ago, when Jesus had come to the disciples and revealed himself to them as he passed right through their door. They had that door shut in unbelief, but yet Jesus still showed up. And there he was right in the midst of them, and praise God. They knew it was him. They saw the holes in his hands, and they saw that big hole where the spear had thrust into his side. But in verse 25 says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of those nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Am I? And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus. The door being shut, and Jesus stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now again, I want you to remember, Thomas said, you know, not too long ago, Jesus, I'm going to die for you. But see, when we really saw that when Jesus began to tell him where he was going and that they knew the way, Thomas was making himself very clear of where he stood. When he told Jesus, "Jesus, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going." It really begins to give us a hint of how fearful and negative Thomas's outlook really was. See, because instead of hearing what Jesus was saying, Thomas was only going by what his eyes could see. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, that's just like our unbelief, isn't it? See, the truth is always there. The truth is always there. Praise God. He said, let me tell you something, honey. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And you know what he says about his sheep? My sheep, they know my voice. They know my voice. And I'm thankful to God that we do know his voice. But even though the truth is there, are we listening? And how it is proven in our text tonight, the last image that Thomas saw of Jesus because he was there was that death on the cross. See, Thomas was locked into what his natural eyes saw. And when we're locked into what our natural eyes see, brothers and sisters, there is no way to be encouraged to see with spiritual eyes. When we're locked in with our natural eyes, we are not hearing the word of God, neither are we believing. And let's really notice something here. It really begins with Thomas when he was not with them when Jesus came the week prior. See, right there it tells us, rather than gathering with the brethren the first night after Jesus had risen, after Jesus told him that he would rise after those 3 days, Thomas decided that he wouldn't gather with those brethren. Thomas went ahead and said, I'm going to be by myself. And most likely it was because the same spirit we saw in Thomas, it was negative. Thomas was obviously in a downer outlook at this time. Instead of gathering with the brethren, he isolated himself in unbelief. Think of that. That's a real testimony to us. And all of us know this. You know, when you're battling something and when you withdraw from fellowship, it's never a good result. It's not. Because God would not have us do that. All of us know this, brothers and sisters. There's maybe no greater evidence of unbelief is when we choose to not gather with the saints. There's maybe no greater evidence when we have opportunity to go to church, we don't go to church, that we're in unbelief. And without fellowship, when it's available, when we neglect fellowship, it only stirs up more negative thoughts and more unbelief. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, if you go on over there, and we love to quote this verse, but in Hebrews 10, 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Don't forsake this assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, encourage one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Praise God. And I thank the Lord. I believe that we are beginning to really see the opportunity and the privilege and the need that we have to gather with saints and to gather in the house of the Lord and to hear the truth. And praising the Lord that this is how faith is built in our lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know what? We must be taught the word of God. You must have a teacher. And I thank God that God has given us these different vessels to teach us the word of God and to hear the things of God. And then it's not just to hear anything of God. As we know about Paul's gospel, he said, you need to hear strong meat. And I thank the Lord that as Paul came to those believers and he said, now look, you guys have just given up eating on strong meat. You've given up just listening to the depths of the gospel of Christ. I'll tell you what, you should be teaching this, and now you even have a need to go back and get on milk so you can grow back up again. See, when we begin to step away from the truth, a step away from the truth will only step away from the truth some more and step away from the truth some more. By the grace of God, make steps towards the truth. And I love the simplicity of Pastor Hill, as he just would say so often. you know, people would wonder what they should do or where should they go? Should they move? You know, is God calling me over here? He said, the one thing I know you'll never go wrong when you make steps towards the truth. When you make steps for the truth. Whether it's in your household, whether it's at your work, whether it's where you live, whatever it may be. By the grace of God, Lord, help me to make a stand in the things of God. But you see, the same result of unbelief was evidenced in Luke with those two brothers that were on the road to Emmaus. Those brothers were about 60 furlongs from Jerusalem. And remember, the word Jerusalem means the place of double peace. And I'll tell you one thing. You don't just need peace when you're having a trial. You need double peace. You do. You need that encouragement of a double portion of peace. And I thank God, what a double portion of peace I get when I come and I fellowship amongst you saints. I get that double portion of Paul's gospel peace. Isn't that something? I mean, you're talking about the fiery, fiery trials, the pressing. And I can have ones that can come to me and say, oh my goodness. Can you imagine Romans 8:28 is just becoming living and alive and full living color in your life? That yes, if you suffer together with me, you'll reign together with me. Praise be to God for that fellowship. Praise be to God for that encouragement. Praise be to God that I know whom I'm believed and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's wonderful double peace. But you see, these two brothers were 60 furlongs from the place of double peace. They were 60 furlongs from the fellowship with those disciples that had gathered together. Even though those disciples were fearful, thanks be to God that they got together with saints of like precious faith. There wasn't much faith there, but that's all the faith they had. And they got together, didn't they? And there was Thomas, he isolated himself, that wasn't a good thing. He came back and those guys were testifying to him. And he said, I still don't believe until I see him. You can get there. Yes, you can. But for the grace of God. But that's why the Lord encourages us to hear the truth. See, without hearing the truth and without gathering among saints, you get weak. And you get weak very quickly. God gave us that type even in our own natural lives, in our natural bodies. When we do not eat food for a day, you get weak. And you know that. I mean, there's some of us like me, 2-3 hours, I can get pretty nasty. You know, and it's, but it's something, you know, you can get very weak. And then, you know, you maybe do some cleansing for 2-3 days. I remember my wife said, no, this is going to be good for us. After, you know, going into the second day, that might be good for you, but this is not good for me. I know it. But how much more so the Word of God? How much more so the spiritual things? And it isn't anything to laugh about. It's just what it is because it's God, and that's what God said, and this is how we're built. We're built to need Jesus. We're built one in one thing that is the supplying, and that's the Word of God. The only rejoicing we'll ever have is when we rejoice in His loving kindness. And His loving kindness is His Word. And I'm grateful to God that, you know, the light is going on more and more and more. The enlightened eyes of understanding are beginning to see it more and more. What an absolute privilege and a thanksgiving in our hearts that, Lord, you've given us a desire to hear the Word of God. That I love to hear the Word of God. I love to hear the Word of God in song. You know, it's funny because I was mentioning about, you know, the music on Sunday. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for the Grace and Glory music that we have. Because it's Paul's gospel in that music. That's what it is. It's not the tune. It's not any of those things. And sometimes Bob will tell you, those tunes, I don't know where they got them. But them words are good. But thanks be to God for the musicians we have that get an anointing to say, well, we'll put a little, never mind. But the words, and it's the Word, praise God, that's all powerful. But what I'm also thankful about is when you know Paul's gospel and you even hear a song that may not necessarily have all of that gospel in it, it can still encourage your heart. You know what I'm saying? Whereas on the flip side, a lot of times when you're just a babe and you start hearing songs about Paul's gospel, you sit there and go, well, I don't want to hear that. Well, sure you don't, because you don't know that truth. You see? See, I'm thankful that by the grace of God, when he grows you up, you appreciate the whole body of Christ. And you're thankful and you pray for one another. But see, this was just it. See, these two brothers on the road to Emmaus, they had distanced themselves away just like Thomas did. And they weren't going to fellowship with believers. And there they were on that road, and there Jesus appears to them. And Jesus, again, as only Jesus can do, he doesn't reveal himself to them. But he asked, well, what's wrong? Oh, you didn't hear? Where have you been? You know, Jesus Christ was crucified. And, you know, he was supposed to rise again. But they were all contemplating these things. They were not believing. They were remembering, but they weren't believing. But Jesus, as he talked with them and as he fellowshiped with them and as he walked on with them, it said that they began to burn in their hearts after he departed. And if you read there in Luke, it says, after Jesus manifests himself to him, they immediately got back to Jerusalem that night. See, they had walked, and once they figured it out, once that he had left, and he told them, he said, oh, you are slow to believe. And then their hearts burned, and then they realized that was the Christ. Jesus is risen indeed. And it says that they got back immediately into Jerusalem with the disciples. And you know what the first thing they said? Jesus is risen indeed. Amen. Amazing what happens when you gather with the saints. Amazing what happens, praise God. And may we have more of a desire to get into the meeting to fellowship with the saints. See, great faith longs for encouragement with others of like precious faith. Did you hear that? Great faith longs, desires, pants for fellowship with others of like precious faith. That's why I am thankful when the Lord privileges me to travel, even a home somewhere out, somewhere in an obscure place in Arizona or California somewhere or whatever. Oh, did you go out and see a bunch of people? No. There might have been just two, might have been three. But the privilege to be amongst ones that so love the truth. And thanks be to God how reciprocated it is. There isn't anything better. Thank the Lord. So we praise him for this truth. We praise him for this encouragement we have. But look how powerful that unbelief had gripped Thomas in verse 25. I mean, it's just amazing. He said in verse 25, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. We've seen him, Thomas. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the prints of his nails and put my finger in the print of his nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. My goodness, that is a strong statement. The others witness Jesus is risen. They're telling him just like Jesus said, Thomas, he's risen. He told us he would, and we've seen him. But he would not hear the word. And he chose again rather to believe with his eyes and with his mind as opposed to hearing the word of God. And isn't it something how many times we've experienced this with believers? And really, there's nothing that grieves my heart more. When you show someone the word of God, when God gives you opportunity to sit down and search the scriptures with people, but they still want to stay in unbelief, that's a hard thing. It hurts. Oftentimes, even though you show the scriptures, they say, well, I haven't been taught it that way. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's very obvious. Here's what it says in the word of God. How you were taught it then was wrong. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I'm thankful because you know what? The word of God is true. And he that wills to know will know of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, there are some big, big religions. There are some big, big denominations. But I'm going to tell you something. You better hang it all on what the word of God says. It's the truth. It's the word. It's not what man in their committees will tell you. But you see, brothers and sisters, when people stay in their unbelief because something their religion has told them, unfortunately, they will not believe the truth. But however, in spite of Thomas's unbelief, isn't it amazing? There's many things happening here. God uses Thomas's testimony to wonderfully assure us of the nails in his hands. This is the place in the Word of God after the crucifixion that assures us, as he said, until I see those prints where the nails were in his hands. And that refers back to Psalm 22:16. It said in Psalm 22:16, they pierced my hands and feet. And I think that's so beautiful because the Old Testament always points to Jesus. The Old Testament always preaches Jesus. Because the Old Testament is the Word, Jesus. Praise be to God. And I am so grateful for that. But see, 8 days later, and notice this time, Thomas is with his brethren 8 days later. Amazing what you can see and be encouraged in truth when you gather with brethren of like precious faith. Jesus comes in the same way. No different. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And once again, he says, peace be unto you. Isn't that wonderful? See, he knew that the very first thing he had to tell them and to encourage them, you have peace with God. You have peace with God. And remember, how do we know that we have peace with God? Because of the holes in his hands, the holes in his feet, and that hole in his side. Praise the Lord. That he died. He became sin for us who knew no sin. He paid the price. Thank you, Lord. The atonement has been made. So, it's amazing here. But once again, he says, peace be unto you. And it's glorious because he doesn't disparage Thomas, but he always comes in peace. And notice who and what he addresses first here tonight. He addresses Thomas's unbelief. And it's very important that the Lord always address our unbelief because, brothers and sisters, we cannot move forward in truth in unbelief. You can't. You need to believe the Word of God. And I thank God for it that Jesus, he deals with it. He is always about helping our unbelief. The grace, the love, the mercy that is always present. The grace of God, the all power for us always to believe. And notice what he says here. Go ahead and try me. Put your finger in the holes in my hand. And go ahead and stick your entire fist in the gaping hole in my side. Praise the Lord. He wasn't going to fool around with him. I love you, Thomas. We don't have time for unbelief. We've got to get going. Now here it is. Isn't that amazing how he does that? And isn't that so wonderful? Because that is the Word in Jesus and what he does with us all the time. Praise God. See, when we're anytime we're unbelieving, he appears to us the same way. The Word always appears the same way in truth, in love. And it's there, isn't it? And he enlightens the eyes of your understanding to believe it. It's right there. And praise be to God for the grace of God. Yes, that causes us to believe. And again, this really magnifies the wounded rib portion. We suffer together with him. There's no light thing. But our all-knowing Jesus knows precisely our downsetting. And he always is present to help our unbelief. See, not only did Jesus know Thomas's unbelief, not only did Jesus know exactly what he needed to hear and all of these things, but you have to remember this. We're talking about the risen Savior. Praise God. He was there listening to Thomas when he was telling those disciples, I'm not going to believe until I see him. Jesus, he knew. Praise the Lord. Now, what I so love about Thomas is it's the same Jesus he saw on the cross who is right now right there before him. The difference was is that Thomas could not get past the death. He did not see Jesus off the cross. Think of that. Thomas was still seeing Jesus on the cross. Seeing Jesus off the cross, brothers and sisters, is vital and essential to living the power of his resurrection. And I want you to think of a great religion today that you will always see him on the cross. And in that great religion, no wonder there is such unbelief when we need to remember the death, but always the glory and the power of his resurrection. Amen? Praise God. See, that's what it is. It's the power of his resurrection. Isn't that wonderful? See, and as we go back in that study there in Philippians 3, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And then it's in the fellowship of his suffering. And then finally being made conformable unto his death. You never get to the fellowship of his suffering. You never get to being made conformable unto his death until you know him in the power of his resurrection. He lives. And he lives in me. And I thank the Lord how powerful that is. Through Jesus Christ we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That is so powerful. Listen to that. By Jesus, we have the power through one Spirit, that access unto the Father. It's because that one Spirit, praise God, lives in us. It's the Spirit of Christ, praise God. It's the same Spirit. It's the same life. And through that power, we have the same access to the Father. Praise the Lord. I don't show up as somebody else. I show up as his son. I show up in the same very life. Praise God, that's exactly how he sees me. And that's exactly who I am. And that's exactly because of the power of the resurrection. That's the power of God living and alive in me. The quickening power of beyond understanding peace, the rest of God, faith unfeigned, fervent love, drawing nigh to kiss him, all because of my resurrected Savior that rent the veil in twain. I go in there boldly into the Holy of Holies to have fellowship, the resurrection power that has made me the new man, hallelujah, that lives in me, alive and living in me, and even by his grace, strengthened by the power of his might. Now that is all powerful. But that's because of the power of his resurrection. I thank the Lord. You know, he even told him back there was Lazarus. You know, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's always been that. There isn't anything hard for me. Sister said, he's the God of impossible. Well, praise the Lord. You know, as we talk about all of the events and circumstances and situations that we're in, you know, I don't think they stack up that one comes back from the dead. And it's the truth. But then you have to think the death that he died. He became sin. He was made sin for us. That was there to keep him in that grave. That was there to defeat him. That was there to destroy. But praise be to God, there was nothing that was going to keep him in that grave. There was nothing that was going to keep him from rising again. And thank the Lord that, see, without that resurrection, our faith would be in vain. We would have believed a lie. But praise the Lord, he lives. And as those brothers said, Christ Jesus is risen indeed. How wonderful. How precious that, again, this is our Jesus. Now see, this grace, and oh, you talk about a condescending Savior. He condescended to us, what men of low, low estate. He loves us. And it's all because of his finished work on the cross. See, Jesus said, I cannot deny myself. And I love how he says that. I know it means his life in us, but he just can't deny himself because he loves us so much. I can't deny myself to love you. I can't deny myself to help you. I can't deny myself to meet every need. I can't deny myself to abide faithful even when you don't believe. And that's what's so beautiful about him. Thomas was called and chosen. And even when a believer believes not, Jesus abides faithful. Praise God. Praise God. That's when he really wants you to praise God. is when you know you haven't believed him and you know you have been just in a place of absolute doubt. And I've been there. And I've had very close ones to remind me of that in a very loving way. But I'm telling you, I thank him so much that he is so faithful. And you know what I'm saying. We know he can. We know nothing's hard for him. But yet when we get hit and hit and hit and hit, we begin to think, Lord, I know it ain't hard for you. But then we think maybe it's too hard for me. But that's doubting again too, because he says that he won't test me beyond what I'm able to bear. Amen? So see, we just need him all the time, don't we? We need him to encourage us all the time. And see, that's just our Jesus, because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. It's only going to be more grace for grace. See, a believer receives such grace to ask God as Thomas did. You think about what Jesus heard him say. I'm not going to believe him until he appears before me and I put my finger in the hole in his hand. And Jesus was right there to hear him say that. I mean, that is amazing. You think about love. You know, that's something, isn't it? You know, you could even talk about Peter, and you can say, well, you know, Peter was before the crucifixion when he was denying him. But this was after. This is after that he was crucified. This was after those brothers testified to him. Thomas, he lives. And I'm sure they said, you know, Thomas, we were the same as you. We didn't believe either. We're being honest with you, Thomas. And we were just as afraid as you were. But Thomas, he lives. But yet Thomas, so unbelieving, said, no, he doesn't. I don't believe it until I can see him. But God in his great love. I mean, I do. I think about this, and I think about him with me. And I thought about, and maybe Sunday I'm thinking about for Gideon for Sunday anyways. Gideon's such a, what a sweet brother. God appears to him. Well, I've got to make sure that's God. Can we do this again? Could you appear this way? Okay, now you want me to go do something? Well, I need you to do a miracle with this piece of rag and water on a floor. And then the Lord does it, and he says, okay, you know, just to make sure that it wasn't just coincidence, can you kind of reverse it this next time? And you know what God did? He did it. He did it, and he does it for you. Do you know that he does that for you? Do you know that he does that for you? And he does it every day. He does it every day. And he did it for me today. And he did it in a big way today. But see, a sinner requesting such a thing would only tempt God. A sinner would only tempt God with something like that. I remember many of them, but one so true, and brother knows this, he told me how a guy he testified to, he said, well, I'll tell you what, you can believe in that Jesus, but I remember when I was an altar boy, and there were them candles sitting there, and I said, okay, God, if you're really real, just light one of them candles up for me. And you know what? God didn't do it. Because God had already sent his son to do it all. And if you don't believe in that, you're going to miss it all. And I'm thankful I didn't miss it. And I talk to people often, historically. It's proven. There's a man named Jesus, and he died on that cross. And he professed himself to be the Christ, the Son of God. These are historians that will even tell you this. And then the witnessing. praise God of the Savior that would come, the Jesus that truly would be, his hands would be thrust through, his feet would be all throughout the Old Testament, even throughout, as they say, the Torah, those, the five books, the Pentateuch. But yet they will not believe. Oh, my goodness. But oh, what he does for his children in unbelief, huh? Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, you've got such reason to praise him. See, God helps us to grow. And God just wants us to believe. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful for his mercy that always holds me and gives me that grace for grace. And I want to have this precious faith, as it says in 1 Peter 1:8. And again, let's think, Peter is the one that the Lord encouraged to write this. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want you to think about Peter writing that. Because Peter was very similar to a Thomas. He didn't believe. He didn't believe until he saw him. And here Peter is preaching the word to ones that didn't see him, but yet believed. And here he is saying, because you believe and you haven't seen him, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I had to think for Peter, what grace the Lord had to bring him to understand that, Lord, I still have the same joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even though I didn't believe you till I saw you, by your grace, I do believe. Isn't it wonderful? But the opportunity that we have, how blessed we are, again, to, again, have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is that your faith? By the grace of God, that's my faith. There isn't anything more real to me than Jesus. There isn't anything more real to me than his hand, his all-powerful hand. And I'm thankful to him that I have not seen him. Because it's sweeter to him and it's sweeter to me. And it'll be even all that more powerful when I see his face. When I touch him and behold him. And I thank God for that wonderful grace that he's given me to believe him. Oh, how wonderful. How marvelous is our Lord. Praise God. But then so beautiful in verse 28. Thomas says, my Lord. Always remember this about the word Lord. It means to belong to. What he says is, Lord, I belong to you. I'm yours. You're my God. And I love this because this is even more of the bridal theme. This is, I belong to you. I'm my beloved's. The grace never changes. It's just what your eyes will see and how much you are to him. And how wonderful to know, what a peace to know that I'm the Lord's. I'm the Lord's. Praise God. And thank the Lord for his grace. That Thomas didn't hesitate. He didn't say, oh, Lord, forgive me. And, he just said, oh, my Lord, my God. He didn't snivel. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't hear any of that. He just said, my Lord, my God. Get over yourself when you don't believe God. See, that's the thing. Oh, you got to repent. You know, you got to come in here in this box and we got to talk. There's but one mediator between God and man, and that's the Lord Christ Jesus. And the mediation he always gives is, you're accepted. You're accepted in the beloved. You're highly favored. Come on! We need this fellowship together. Praise his name, my Lord, my God. That's the personal and intimate one. Now we'll just finish this last part up quickly. Verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Goes on, and John will read again that it says, if we wrote everything that Jesus even did in this short little span of time, all the books could not even contain everything he did. And you think, you hear people, what are we going to do in heaven? If all the books couldn't contain what he did just here in those, you know, few years that the disciples knew of him, what do you think he has to tell us? Alpha, Omega? That's why we need a body like unto his own. That's just to be able to begin to contain it. Hallelujah. But then he goes on to say, but these are written. So see, there were all of these other things, but this is such a beautiful statement of John. And everything's right here. But these are written for what? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It's the whole point of everything. It wasn't for literature. It wasn't to behold miracles. It wasn't for anything else except for one purpose. All of the things that John had written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But it didn't stop there. And that believing, or through believing, ye might have life. And that means the fullness of his life, his very life, through his name. Going over to 1 John 5:13, he says it, John again says it in a different way in 1 John 5:13. Very similar. In 1 John 5:13, he says the same thing almost again. These things have I written unto you. Now it's that believe on the name of the Son of God. See, it was that ye might believe. Now John is writing again and he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And I thought how sweet, and we've heard many sermons about this, and Brother Ray Quintana touched on it Sunday morning, is that we would be wise unto salvation. That eternal life that we have, that we grow in it right now. How powerful that life is and how abundant that life is. But that ye might know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And I'll tell you what, I believe I'm just beginning to really understand what believing on the name of Jesus is. I mean, really beginning. How powerful that name is. How everything has to just stop and attend. You do not know the power and the presence that I've come to you when I come in Jesus' name. When I call out in Jesus' name. And that ye may know it. I sure love my brother John, don't you? What a sweet man. No wonder he was the disciple, as he said. The only way I want to be known is I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. How about you? I don't want you to know me as, oh, that's the guy that just loved Jesus. Oh, no, I want you to know something. I'm the guy that Jesus loves and he adores. Praise his name. He is wonderful. And by the grace of God, may we really believe him more and more and more. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.